Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Anger Trap: Free Yourself from the Frustrations That Sabotage Your Life is a practical self-help and Christian counseling book by Les Carter and Frank Minerth. Published originally by Wiley, it focuses on the nature of anger, why it becomes destructive, and how people can become locked into recurring patterns of frustration, criticism, and resentment. Rather than treating anger as a simple outburst problem, the book examines the deeper thinking, fears, and insecurities that often keep people trapped in reactive behavior. Its purpose is both diagnostic and corrective. It helps readers identify unhealthy anger, distinguish it from healthy anger, and use concrete changes in thought, communication, and conduct to break damaging cycles. The book is especially notable for combining psychological insight with spiritual perspective, which gives it a distinctive place among anger management titles. It is designed for readers who want more than quick tips and are willing to examine the roots of their emotional responses. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anger as a pattern, not just an outburst. One of the book's central ideas is that anger should not be understood only as a single emotional explosion. Part of it is present anger as a recurring pattern that can shape personality, relationships, and daily decision-making. This matters because many people focus only on visible behavior, such as shouting or losing patience, while missing the deeper habits that produce those reactions. The book argues that anger often becomes chronic when it is tied to unresolved frustration, disappointment, or hidden pain. By framing anger as a pattern, the authors encourage readers to look for repeated triggers and familiar reactions rather than isolated incidents. This approach makes the problem more understandable and also more changeable, because patterns can be studied, interrupted, and replaced. The emphasis is not on blaming the person, but on showing how persistent anger can quietly organize a person's inner life and damage relationships over time. Secondly, distinguishing healthy anger from destructive anger. A major contribution of the book is its insistence that not all anger is automatically bad. The authors make a careful distinction between healthy anger, which can signal that something is wrong, and unhealthy anger, which distorts judgment and harms others. This distinction prevents the discussion from becoming simplistic, because it recognizes that anger can sometimes serve a morally or psychologically useful purpose. At the same time, the book warns that anger turns destructive when it becomes self-protective, controlling, or habitually critical. Readers are encouraged to evaluate the source, purpose, and consequences of their anger instead of assuming that intensity alone tells the whole story. This framework is useful in everyday life because it helps people decide whether they need to express concern, set boundaries, or confront injustice, rather than simply react impulsively. In this sense, the book is not anti-emotion. It is about learning discernment and restraint. Thirdly, the hidden beliefs that keep anger alive. The book places strong emphasis on the thinking that lies beneath anger. Instead of treating angry behavior as the whole issue, it explores the beliefs, insecurities, fears, and expectations that often fuel it. This is one of the book's most important psychological insights, because anger often feels immediate and obvious, while the thought patterns behind it remain unexamined. The authors suggest that people may become angry when reality does not match their assumptions, when they feel disrespected, or when they are trying to protect a vulnerable self-image. By exposing these hidden dynamics, the book helps readers understand why simply telling someone to calm down rarely solves the problem. The real work is in identifying the assumptions that keep being reinforced. This makes the book more than a discussion of behavior management. It is a guide to self-examination. Its deeper message is that changing anger requires changing the interpretive lens through which situations are understood. Fourthly, how communication and behavior can break the anger cycle. The practical side of the book is built around changing what people do once they recognize their anger patterns. Carter emphasizes that thoughtful communication and altered behavior are essential if readers want to stop reinforcing the same frustrations. This includes learning to respond more deliberately, speaking in ways that reduce escalation, and choosing actions that do not deepen conflict. The book's case-based approach makes this especially concrete, since it shows how anger is maintained through habitual responses as much as through underlying feeling. Readers are not asked to suppress emotion, but to redirect it into more constructive forms of expression. This is important because anger often becomes worse when it is either denied or expressed without reflection. The practical lesson is that behavior can either strengthen an anger trap or weaken it. By changing response patterns, people can begin to interrupt the automatic chain from trigger to reaction to regret. Lastly, a spiritual and psychological framework for reconciliation. The book stands out because it combines psychological analysis with spiritual wisdom rather than treating anger as only a clinical issue. This blended framework gives the discussion a moral and relational dimension, suggesting that anger affects not just internal comfort, but also integrity, empathy, and reconciliation. The spiritual perspective helps explain why the book repeatedly returns to themes such as humility, self-awareness, and the need to move beyond self-centered reactions. At the same time, the psychological side keeps the advice grounded and practical. This combination is one reason the book has appealed to Christian readers and to those looking for a values-based approach to emotional change. The ultimate aim is not merely to reduce irritation, but to improve family, workplace, and personal relationships through more mature responses. That broader goal makes the book more ambitious than a standard anger management manual, because it treats emotional change as part of a larger process of personal growth and restored connection. In conclusion, The Anger Trap is best suited for readers who notice that anger is repeatedly damaging their relationships, their work environment, or their inner stability, and who want a deeper explanation than generic advice to count to 10. It will also appeal to counselors, pastors, and readers interested in a faith-informed approach to emotional change. The book offers practical value because it does not stop at surface behavior. It examines the assumptions, insecurities, and habits that keep anger alive. That makes it useful for people who have tried simpler strategies without lasting results. Compared with many anger management books, its distinctive strength is the combination of psychological insight, case examples, and spiritual framing. It does not merely define anger as a problem to control, but as a pattern to understand and transform. For readers who want a reflective, structured, and morally serious treatment of frustration and resentment, it remains a strong and recognizable title in its category. If you would like to support Frank Minerth, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.